Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is the Steve Jones Show. Matt Catrillo here with you. Steve will soon be there from the Sunbury Motors Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, all new pre-owned inventory. All at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And online at sunburymotors.com. Excellent service department and sales staff as well. Well, the Nittany Lions, the Micah Shrewsbury era begins with a big win against Youngstown State last night at the BJC, as heard right here on WKOK, 75-59. And I think the biggest takeaway for me from that game last night is seeing the returning players control the game and take control of the game when they needed to, especially when they went on the big run late in the first half when Youngstown State was trying to keep things close and give them credit, and they had the big 10-0 run at the end of the game to pull ahead. Seth Lundy, 23-6. John Harar, I thought, was great, especially as well after all that he went through with the transfer back and forth. 16-14, so a double-double for him to start off the season. A couple of new guys, Pickett nearly with double digits last night. Sessoms with 17 last night. So it was good to see some of the new guys get in and contribute a little bit, but good to see the core guys that are back now under a new head coach yet again take control of that game especially when they needed to last night. And seemed like that was a terrific crowd for game one last night. Student section was lively. That was good to see. And I think, again, part of it is, and of course we talked about this at the start of the football season, that's just good to have fans back. First time everybody's back in the arena in 2 years too. So it's good to see the boys back in action last night, and a good start for Micah Shrewsbury. And now Nittany Lions have their first road game coming up on Monday night at UMass, so we'll continue to see that. Now, again, a little bit closer than what maybe you would think for a matchup like this. Maybe a little bit suspect here and there, but again, a couple of things with that is you have your first-year head coach. You tend to be a little bit more patient when it comes to these types of things. But also, too, in the first couple of nights of College Hoops, both the men and women, from what I've seen, the games that I guess you would call me the gimme games, the cupcake games for some of the power schools, Power 5 schools, they actually had some trouble, and either whether it's slow start shooting or just the opposition that they were facing just got hot. There's been a lot of highly contested games in these non-conference matchups early on, some of these gimme games for some of these power schools. So it wasn't just Penn State last night. It's been pretty much across the board in the first couple of games. Of course, Bucknell women were only down by 4 at halftime at Ohio State last night, a ranked team, before they pulled away in the second half. Bucknell men looked really good on Tuesday night in the season opener at NC State. I mean, they jumped out to a 9-0 lead in that game and had plenty of other chances to win. That was a competitive game really until midway through the second half when NC State pulled away.
Yeah, so you'll find that early in college basketball. I talk about this every year.
Yeah. But it's still a good start for Micah Shrewsbury, though, Steve.
Well, you find this every single year. I mean, Akron takes Ohio State to the right. They scared Ohio State. Navy, Ed Chellis, doesn't have two starters. I didn't say Tony Bennett didn't have two starters. I said Ed DeChellis didn't have two starters, and Navy beat Virginia.
That's right.
So, you know, it's... We are in an interesting time right now. And here's where it's interesting. Because of COVID... So let's just take this college basketball. We talked about some tight games early, no real blowouts, right? Ice hockey is always an older sport to begin with anyway. Football, we go back to what happened last weekend. Yeah, Georgia won big, but Alabama had to fight to beat LSU. Ohio State had to fight to beat Nebraska. Oregon had to fight to beat Stanford. Was it Stanford? No. Oregon had to fight to beat Washington. Cincinnati had to fight to beat Tulsa. I just watched the Michigan-Indiana game. All right, and it was in a lot of ways just a good, solid pedestrian win for Michigan. It wasn't flashy, but this is what I think is happening because of COVID. There are a lot of people that came back, and there are a lot of super seniors this year in collegiate sports, especially in football and in men's basketball. College football got older this year. Men's basketball got older this year. And as I've said once, I've said it 100 times on this show, every league is better when you have more mature players. The world gets enamored with the fresh face, 18-year-old. There's the infusion of youth into it. And some people are ultra-talented and can make a difference, and they're spectacular. Others, it takes a while to develop. And you look at college football this year, you have a lot of older players back. It's made a difference in the quality of the product. It's better. Men's basketball, you're going to see the same thing. Older players are back this year, or transfers that are older. And it's made a big difference. I think you're going to see a high level of play in both. You know, down the stretch, we're already seeing a high level of play in college football this year. I think we're going to see a high level of play in men's basketball because of transfers and the portal, and because people came back for the extra year of eligibility, it's older. And when it's older, it's a better product. You know, Bucknell, NC State, good game. Really good game. And I think that it's something that I don't think a lot of people have talked about. We usually seem to talk about a lot of things people don't talk about. Okay? But I think that is a factor in what we're seeing. Now, tonight, we've got a really good one tonight, I think. I know Baltimore's playing Miami, and it's interesting because Baltimore had to play overtime to finally beat Minnesota. So they were extended on Sunday. Now they have to come back and play a Thursday game on the road in Miami. Miami is not the best matchup for Baltimore. Okay, that's the NFL game. But the college game tonight is North Carolina Pitt. Pitt's 7-2. They've lost to Miami and Western Michigan. Meanwhile, Mack Brown's team is 5-4. And everyone had high expectations. Remember, North Carolina was ranked in the top 10 when the season began, and they came out of the gate and they lost to Virginia Tech. You have two quarterbacks in this game. You know what's interesting about the two quarterbacks? They have both played about the way I thought they would play this year. I've always been good on Sam Howell. I have never been over the top on Sam Howell. And I felt when they lost the two running backs from a year ago, and they do have a transfer from Tennessee back there, but I thought when they lost their two primary running backs from last year, I thought it was going to affect him, and I thought he'd have a good season, not a great season. He's had a good season, not a great season. Because, again, I've never been over the top on Sam Howell. I've always thought he was good. right? Let's not take anything away from him, but have never felt he was great. Conversely, Kenny Pickett has had the kind of season I thought he'd have. I'm going to go all the way back to 2017 talking about Kenny Pickett. When Penn State went to play Pitt in Heinz Field in 2018, I said, look, Pitt's got themselves a quarterback. Now, it turned out it poured that night, and Penn State buried them, and Kenny didn't have a good game. He just didn't. But I went into the game all week on this show saying, look, I'm telling you, they got a quarterback. This guy can play. I think this guy has pro potential. Now, in 19, when they came to Beaver Stadium, Kenny showed that pro potential. And I thought Pickett would have a big season this season, and he is. He's had multiple 500-yard passing games. So this is going to be, I think, a fun college matchup tonight. I believe it's at Heinz Field.
Correct. And we are going to pick this game later with the King.
Yeah. So I think that is, to me, that is one that I think has a chance to be. I'll be watching college football tonight and maybe flipping over from time to time to check in on Baltimore, Miami. Usually it's been the other way around. The pro game's been the better game. There haven't been a lot of quality games on Thursday night in college football. Not this one. This time I'm going with, I think the college game's the game I want to watch tonight.
I'm with you because I'm interested in seeing the two quarterbacks, especially knowing that Howie Roseman is one of a few GMs that will be there tonight.
Well, there'll be a lot of pro scouts watching this one tonight because of the two quarterbacks. You know, because Kenny Pickett can come out. I mean, so can Sam Howell. I mean, they both can come out after this season. And so I think, you know, you want to get a good long look at both of them, you can do that. But, you know, you guys have Jalen Hurts. I don't understand why you're so anxious to bag him and just throw him to the side of the road.
See, yeah, I'm a little nervous about Howie being there because apparently the rumor going around today is Howie doesn't do this a whole lot. So if he's in person at a game, that means he's pretty interested in somebody, and it sounds like it's Pickett. So, and not that I hate the guy, but if the Eagles are going to make a quarterback change this offseason and it's not Jalen Hurts, I'd rather them spend the 3 first-round picks and try to get one of the quarterbacks this time around. Because I don't think any of these guys are it. I think you're better off sticking with Jalen Hurts and using the 3 picks elsewhere and continue to build around him. I don't think going to quarterback now is the answer.
Well, if you're wondering about Kenny Pickett's numbers, he's at 3,171 yards through 9 games. So he's averaging over 300 yards a game. 29 touchdowns and only 3 interceptions. That's not bad. Sam Howell, 2,408 yards. 20 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. As I said once, I've said many times about Sam Howell, he's good. But I've never been over the top on him. Pickett is, I've always felt Pickett was the better prospect. A little bit bigger, too. Pickett's 6'3". Howell's only 6'1". And now we're starting to get the, you know, Mel Kiper's putting out his draft board now. Yeah, people are looking. What, you know, what does Mel say? Howie Roseman now is going to games, which is making Matt really nervous.
To be fair, Kevin Colbert's going to be there as well.
Well, geez, I would hope so.
Yeah.
I mean, that is his stadium.
Exactly. I mean, he's right in his backyard. He should be there.
This is not Keenan Stadium. They're not going down to Chapel Hill.
I'm trying to take this a little bit with a grain of salt, but I would be lying if I were not nervous that Howie is there at the game tonight.
I don't care if he's at the game. I'm just going to watch him for the fun of it. I watch sports for fun now. Hey, I've got serious stuff last night. I got serious stuff on Saturday. All the other stuff I watch for fun now.
Oh, yeah, same here.
No, you don't. You're a basket case. What are you talking about?
All right, nervous. Maybe a little bit of both. Why not?
You're nervous that your GM is at the game tonight? I mean, come on. I'm a Giants fan. If Gettleman showed up, he's like, so what? I don't care. I just want to watch the game and have fun. All right, back with more. I watch games for fun now.
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
Like, you guys kid me about, like, the Red Sox or whatever they're doing. I watch the Red Sox for fun now. And when you do what I do in the games, like Saturday, that was serious for me. Hey, last night, that was serious for me. Other games I watch to have fun. Unless there's a direct implication dealing with Penn State. Then, okay, now I'll lock in. I'll be a lot more serious about it. But I'm just out there because for the pure enjoyment of it. And the fact that you and my brother are basket cases about this stuff makes it even more entertaining for me. All right, back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
It felt great, but I'm so happy for these guys. Really, like, I mean, what they've been through, you know, everything that's happened to them, and to go out there and to see that student section like that.
Yeah.
To hear our crowd getting into it and really backing them. And, you know, there were times where they went on a run and we needed to get stops, and our crowd was a big part of helping us get stops. So I'm so excited for these guys. I'm sure, you know, my wife and kids and mom and dad are, you know, have something cooked up for me when I got home.
There were thousands of students there last night. You know, the entire baseline, from baseline to baseline, was completely filled in the student section. Then they'd spilled over into the end zone. Then it spilled over into the seats. The students were coming in droves last night. And there was a really great moment, which none of you could witness, but Dick and I could witness last night. Because at this point, the Jordan Center cleared out. We were into the last segment, wrapping up the postgame show. And we looked down, and Micah came out with Molly and the children and Micah's parents. And he got the game ball because Sam Sessoms went over and asked the official for the game ball, and Sam gave the game ball to Adam Fisher. And they presented it in the locker room to Micah. Well, Micah came out with the game ball with Molly, his children, his mom and dad, and they took a picture at center court right in the Lion logo. So you want to talk about how it meant something to the coach? It meant something to the coach.
That's awesome.
And they have followed that up, by the way, with a consensus top 30 recruiting class. Five guys. Grady Eifert sent me some of the stuff today. Impressive. And this is how he wants to build a program. He wants to build a program with as many four-year players as possible, and then mix in transfers where need be. This past season, transfers were a necessity. Moving forward, it's going to be the long-term player with a mix in of a transfer whenever needed. That's how he wants to go about his business. Thrilled for him. He is a great guy to deal with, a great guy to work with, an easy guy to root for, too. I know you and I have ached for years to say that about the suit.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford Kia Hyundai, best in new inventory. Great pre-owned inventory. Hey, maybe the budget says that's the way to go. Maybe you just prefer it, by the way. It's all with the Sunbury Motors guarantee, so that means a lot. Great time to deal with trade-ins and a service department that backs it all up. It is at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. All right, our high school football roundtable now has been reduced to one. I feel like we're sitting there doing musical chairs, and the only one that's left is Zach. Zach, welcome to the studio, first of all. Great to have you with us.
Thanks. It's good to be back. Good to be in the studio here with you guys.
The suit's not in the building, is he? Matt?
He is in the building, but not in studio. And actually, I didn't mention this to you last week, Steve, but Pat O'Brien had a little bit of a medical issue. He lost his voice last week, and so the suit filled in for Pat last week. But Pat is back tomorrow night. He's got his voice back.
Get well as fast as you can, okay? I mean, don't you think the people of Salins Grove have suffered enough? All right, so.
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
Well, Kevin was able to double his high school calling of wins this year, last week. So.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, oh my almighty.
Wow. Okay, so Jersey Shore is the opponent. So let's get to last week's game. You're in a 2-3 matchup, right? And Salins Grove was impressive in winning it. What made them impressive?
Well, I think one of the most impressive things, anytime you play a team for the second time, it's not easy. And you would have thought watching that matchup last week that Salins Grove was actually the underdog and had lost that game week three. They just came out, fired out of a cannon. In the first series, Shamokin ended up going for it on 4th and 1 from their own, I believe, 28 or 29-yard line. Salins Grove stopped them, scored 2 plays later. And after that, it was big play after big play. I think the longest scoring drive with the starters was a 3-play drive in that game. So it was defense shutting things down and Salins Grove making some big plays in the passing game. Quarterback Mark Pastore just had 3 completions all night. All 3 of them were touchdowns. So anytime you can do that, Brandon Heil, what should be an all-state linebacker and is also playing really well on the offensive side of the ball, touched the ball 4 times. 3 of them went for touchdowns and also blocked a punt that he returned for a touchdown. So honestly, it was just an overall really good effort. The team came out ready to play, and they dominated really from beginning right up to the end.
I mean, except for Southern Columbia, it seems to me that Salins Grove has not only been winning games, but they have been dominating games. Are you seeing a certain swagger with which they're playing with right now?
They're absolutely playing with more confidence. This is a team that has a really good mix of players from freshman to senior. I wouldn't say it's a senior-dominated team, per se, but there's some really good senior leadership. And right now, those are the guys that you can tell are up. There's a belief going into this game tomorrow night that, you know, I wouldn't say necessarily from a objective standpoint that Salins Grove's favored, but from within this team, there's no doubt that Salins Grove's ready to go, and they think that they can win this game and keep the run going.
All right, so now let's get to the matchup with Jersey Shore. They played earlier in the year, right?
Yeah, they did. Week 2, yeah. It was a 9-7 loss.
And it was a totally different Salins Grove team at that point. Okay? So let's get to this part. I want to start with Jersey Shore. In your research, how different is Jersey Shore today compared to that second week of the season back in, what, it had to be, September 2nd, whatever it was?
Yeah, from a scheme perspective, they're not that much different. They're still running their base. We often refer to it, I think, kind of as a 5-2 defense with a lot of down linemen. They want to come at you and put a lot of pressure on you. They're going to try to stop the running game. And they're hoping that when you drop back to pass, that they have some guys right in your face right away. So defensively, they're pretty similar. Offensively, there's a couple differences. Their scheme is not all that different. They like to get their junior quarterback Brady Jordan. They like to try to get him on the edge to make some big plays. Some of their personnel, he has a younger brother, first name's escaping me, but a freshman that they moved back to running back. So they have a couple more options at running back. But really, you've seen the quarterback who at the beginning of the season looked more like an athlete playing quarterback. Now he looks a little bit more like a quarterback. His accuracy is up. So that's probably the biggest area where they improved. But as far as looking at them on film, just looking at them scheme-wise, they're pretty similar to what they were at the beginning of the season.
So now we flip it over to Selins Grove. All right, so yeah, schemes will be the same, but what's the difference?
Well, I think the biggest difference right now is you have a sophomore quarterback that's now playing extra football in his sophomore year. Mm-hmm. Week two, I mean, Pastore was, coming into his own, but just really hadn't really proven anything. Was looking at numbers last night, and since week three, he has 11 touchdowns and one interception.
Perfect.
So we're talking about a kid now who is, looks more and more comfortable there. Still has some, improvements to make like any sophomore would, but he's definitely more comfortable. You're seeing a stable of running backs, an offensive line that has been tweaked a little bit but has remained pretty consistent since the middle of the season. You have some the offense has evolved a little bit. You have your standard high school, I formation sets, but you're also seeing quite a bit of spread and moving guys around to make plays. Defensively, Selins Grove is still dominant, as we've talked about, but one thing that's interesting, and they showed this a little bit in the first game, was getting out of that base 3-5 defense and going mm-hmm. to more of a 3-4 where you had Heil, who's your All-State
Yep.
athlete, just moving around and making plays. And they've also developed some nickel sets that they've been able to get some athletes on the field. So I would expect against an athletic team like Jersey Shore, there's a little bit more options as far as what you can check into and out of defensively and shifting up your standard 3-5 defense. That's been great, but it doesn't always work depending what the scheme you're going against.
After overcoming the depression of who announced the game last week, they've got the boost of Pat coming back this week. Matt, did I say something wrong?
You, sir, are my hero!
Just trying to analyze, the pluses and minuses. I'm sorry. But when Selins Grove wins tomorrow night, if...
I think Selins Grove wins if they're able to continue doing what they're doing and stopping the big plays from Jersey Shore. And I think if they're going to need to make some big plays in the passing game. This is not a team that you're going to be able to run the ball for 300 yards against. I think squarely the game rests on the shoulders of Mark Pastore, the sophomore quarterback. He doesn't have to be perfect, but he's going to need to hit some wide open receivers. Because things are going to be interesting, as you probably know, Jersey Shore's field is not the nicest, field. I'll leave it at that. And it's been a mess the last 2 weeks, and with another inch of rain, I think if Selins Grove can get to 14 yeah. points tomorrow, this might be one of those games where the first team to 14 might win the game. But that's why you play the games. You never quite know what's going to happen.
No, that's exactly right. It's what makes sports so much fun. Every game is an entity unto itself. And the game's at Jersey Shore, so it's really good that Pat's back, because guess who's not very popular Jersey Shore? He's made a few disparaging comments over the year about Jersey Shore.
Hey, right, Matt? S-U-I-T, that spells Suda!
Matt, am I wrong here on this? I mean,
you are 110% correct.
I mean, having Pat back, I mean, will be just be an emotional lift, because it'll take the hate out of the stadium. Zach, always a pleasure. Thanks so much for your time. Appreciate it. Should be a heck of a game.
It should be very much. Thank you, Steve, as always.
Zach Showers joining us. Salem's Grove, Jersey Shore tomorrow. It's on Eagle 107 tomorrow. With the wonderful Pat O'Brien back in the saddle. Now, we've had several comments about last week's game. Glad Salem's Grove won, had no idea where the ball was. What does that mean?
No, senor! No, senor! No, senor!
I'm just kidding. Back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
It's good to get pushed in games like this. You know, you kind of, if it's an easy win, you don't know what it takes to really grind it out. And that's what we had to do. We had to grind it out. And it started, right there out of that timeout. We got a bunch of stops in a row, and we were able to push the lead out a little bit before halftime.
I said to somebody yesterday when they came into the game, they asked me yesterday. In fact, it was in class yesterday. Somebody asked me what kind of game in class what I thought it would be. I said Penn State won by 15 or 16 points. This is somewhere around there. What was the final?
It was a 15-point difference, I think it was.
75-59?
Yeah. There you go. 14 you points. Sorry. Can't do math.
That's 16.
16.
Oh, my almighty!
Yeah. The point is, yes, you had it right.
You guys always think I never know what I'm talking about. I mean, and I can add. All right, so good. You guys are starting to scare me. The whole lot of you across the board.
Well, that's why we pay you the big bucks.
Oof, yeah. Based on how it's gone so far, maybe not enough.
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
Okay. Oh, my goodness. They got their first win last night. Odell Beckham Jr. looks like he's going to sign with the Los Angeles Rams. I can guarantee you in no uncertain terms he will take no catches away from Cooper Kupp. None. Zero. But he'll be another guy in there. I mean, he gives him a chance. I mean, look, the Rams are coming off such an odd performance on Sunday night. I don't want to take anything away from the Tennessee Titans, because without Derrick Henry, they played terrific. Okay. But, boy, you expected more out of the Rams. Yikes. That was kind of taken aback by that. Really was taken aback by that. As the, you know, not that the Titans won. That's not going to be surprising. Tennessee's a good team. But the fact the Rams played as poorly as they did, Matthew Stafford did not play well. Now, look, sometimes you don't have it. Okay? Sometimes you don't have it. And Tennessee made sure that the Rams didn't have it.
And here's the thing. I really don't know all these signings that they've made are going to really make that much of a difference. Like, I still don't know, even with the addition of Beckham now, I still don't know if I put them as the best team in the NFC right now. I really don't.
I don't know who the best team in the NFC is. I mean, to be honest with you, look, I think right now what we have is what we've continued to have in sports, especially professional sports, for a long time. You have a lot of really good teams winning championships, but very few great ones. In other words, the Atlanta Braves are really good. Are they great? No, I think they're really good. Now, the Tampa Bay Lightning, to their credit, have won back-to-back Stanley Cups. Right? So, I mean, there's something to be said about, you know, that team is, you know, that's a legitimately, I think you can say, great team. Lakers last, you know, who won this past year? It was... in the NBA? The heck won the NBA title?
Like, oh, the Bucks.
Yeah, the Bucks won. And again, good team, not great. They beat the Suns. Another good team, not great.
Correct.
The Bucks last year, I thought, were, you know, legitimately good to great. How about that? But we've had a lot of really, really good teams win. Right now in the NFL, I think there's nobody that's any better than really, really good right now. And Arizona has a great record, but and that was a great win for them to go to San Francisco without Kyler Murray and win.
That's who I would lean toward right now, but I think it really is going to come down to who's playing the best football and who's the healthiest in terms of if it's going to be teams like the Bucks, the Packers, the Rams, or the Cardinals.
Yeah. I mean, Green Bay goes to Arizona without their wide receivers and wins. Okay. Arizona goes to San Francisco without their quarterback and wins. Yeah. Well, again, I think there's a lot of really good, not great out there. Same thing in the AFC. A lot of really good, not great. This bodes well for your team. If there were a couple great teams out there, you'd be buried.
Yes.
And fortunately for you, like you're the only team in the NFC East that gets Detroit.
Also true. As John Clark mentioned, there's a chance maybe they can rack up some wins because they have you have your division, you have the Jets after this week against Denver.
They're
basically
playing a last place schedule.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's how the NFL is designed. But that's not meant to be an insult. Okay, it's a fact. You're playing a last place schedule because the NFL, the weaker teams get the higher draft picks, but they get the easier schedule, at least on paper. And so that, you know, the Eagles finished last year. So because of that, they get the last place schedule. Well, that there's nothing wrong with that. Now, that's why you see the NFL is designed to have quick upward mobility. That's how it's designed. And because it's designed that way, you can turn things around a little quicker. That's by design. Matt's going to be out tomorrow. He was so upset that Howie Roseman was going to be at the game tomorrow. He needed a day off.
Yeah, I'm going to be near that way.
Does Howie
taking
know?
Care of some family business. And
No,
but maybe I might. I think I'm going to try to go down there and see if I can talk him out of whatever he's there for.
Oh, I'm sure he's receptive.
This timed out pretty good.
Not for Howie.
But I think most Eagle fans would be okay with that.
I don't know. I'm a little concerned. You sure?
Well, don't be surprised if you see another storyline in addition to the game tonight.
I'm with the suit. We don't even know you left. No, we didn't see him leave. Suit and I will be sitting there now. We didn't see him leave. I mean, Sue and I are on the same page here, brother.
Oh, I know.
What do you think, Kev? No, I don't know. I don't even know if he's employed here.